Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble. It is Monday, January 8th, and we are moving into the second week of the wave of demonstrations, protests, and uprisings in Iran. I have been following this since just right after Christmas, and the whole world has been watching these brave Iranian street freedom fighters stand up for freedom, for democracy. They are so fed up with the Islamic oppression, the state of the economy, and how the money of Iran that should go to them and take care of them is instead going to terrorists. So welcome to the Cross in the Desert. This is the voice for the Iranian people. So glad that you took out the time from your busy schedule to join me. We have a lot happening on the program this morning. Right at about 25 minutes, I have two very important special guests, and they are the authors of the incredible book, Captive in Iran. I'm talking about Miriam Rostampour and Marzia Amirzadeh, and they will share a little bit of their story, but primarily we are going to discuss what's happening in Iran. It was more than 8 years ago that Miriam and Marzia were held in Evin prison on death row for distributing Bibles all over Iran. And by a miracle, that's the only way you can describe it, they were set free about 340 days into their captivity, I believe. But they have an incredible story to tell. They've been all over the world on every media outlet to share their story. And this morning, we're going to talk about the uprisings in Iran. They lived there for many, many years. In fact, during their imprisonment was the time of the 2009 protests, the last big giant wave of protests. So we are going to talk about that this morning in about 25 minutes from now. But what I want to do to set the tone of my program, because I've been sharing so many videos of the uprising on my page, I want to talk about a very important woman who is loved by Iranians, and I'm referring to UN Ambassador Nikki Haley, who has taken a very strong stand, along with President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence, for the Iranian people. Just recently, she had a very powerful speech at the United Nations, and I want us to hear that this morning.
In the past week, what has happened on the ground throughout the nation of Iran is something the world must take note of. It is a spontaneous expression of fundamental human rights. The Iranian people are rising up in over 79 locations throughout the country. It is a powerful exhibition of brave people who have become so fed up with their oppressive government that they're willing to risk their lives in protest. The world should applaud their courage. The voices of the Iranian people should be heard. We have debated the proper role of human rights in the Security Council. Some of our colleagues believe that human rights have no place here. They believe human rights and fundamental freedoms are the business only of the governments that control them. The United States does not share that belief. Human rights are not the gift of governments. They are the inalienable right of the people themselves. Freedom and human dignity cannot be separated from peace and security. When the rights of the people are denied, the people rightly resist. If the concerns are not acknowledged, then peace and security are inevitably threatened. We have seen that repeatedly throughout human history. The case of Syria provides a horrible recent testament to this fact. And what is happening in the towns and cities across Iran right now bears out this fundamental truth. The Iranian regime's contempt for the rights of its people has been widely documented for many years. The people of Iran have finally had enough, and they are showing it by taking to the streets. The Iranian people understand the nature of their regime. They understand that their lack of voice in their government has allowed the regime to ignore them, and it has allowed the regime to spread conflict and instability far and wide. If you listen to the slogans they chant in the street, this understanding comes through loud and clear. The United Nations reports that the Iranian regime spends at least $6 billion every year propping up the murderous Assad regime in Syria. The people of Iran know this, and so they are telling the government, quote, "Let go of Syria, think of us." The Iranian regime spends millions on militias in Iraq each year. It gives millions more each year to the Houthi rebels in Yemen, including sending them ballistic missiles to fire at other countries. Meanwhile, the average Iranian family is 15% poorer today than it was 10 years ago. So the Iranian people demand, think of us. The regime gives low interest loans to the elite and well-connected. It rewards construction contracts to corrupt Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps affiliated firms. They construct buildings that skimp on safety. Thousands of these buildings collapsed during an earthquake. Hundreds died. And the Iranian people chant, think of us. Today, the people of Iran are speaking to their government, and their message is undeniable. Stop the support for terrorism. Stop giving billions of our money to killers and dictators. Stop taking our wealth and spending it on foreign fighters and proxy wars. Think of us. Freedom-loving nations worldwide have spread support for the cause of the Iranian people. Canada, Norway, the United Kingdom, Israel, France, Sweden, the European Union. We honor and appreciate all of these statements of support for universal human rights. But we must do more. The Iranian regime is cutting off internet access in an attempt to shut down communication among the protesters. They are attempting to silence the voice of the Iranian people. We cannot allow that to happen. Every UN member state is sovereign, but member states cannot use sovereignty as a shield when they categorically deny their people human rights and fundamental freedoms. I call on all of my colleagues to join me in amplifying the message of the Iranian people. And I call on the government of Iran to stop censoring the voice of the people and to restore the access to the internet. Because in the end, the Iranian people will determine their own destiny. And let there be no doubt whatsoever, the United States stands unapologetically with those in Iran who seek freedom for themselves, prosperity for their families, and dignity for their nation. We will not be quiet. No dishonest attempt to call the protesters puppets of foreign powers will change that. The Iranian people know the truth, and we know the truth. They are acting of their own will, on their own behalf, for their own future. Nothing will stop Americans from standing in solidarity with them. In 2009, the world stood by passively while the hopes of the Iranian people were crushed by their government. In 2018, we will not be silent. Once again, the people of Iran are rising up. They are asking for something that no government can legitimately deny them: their human rights and fundamental freedoms. They are calling out, "Think of us." If the founding principles of this institution mean anything, we will not only hear their cry, we will finally answer it. The Iranian regime is now on notice. The world will be watching what you do. Thank you.
This is probably one of the most powerful statements that I've heard outside of President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence, given in behalf of the Iranian people. And she is saluted by the Iranians. It must drive the mullahs absolutely crazy that a woman has such prestige and power as Nikki Haley does. But she's extremely serious about this. And I just applaud her for taking the courage as UN ambassador, using her platform to be a voice for the Iranian people. In the last couple of days, there are sources that I go to for videos that have been a little quiet, and I was becoming a little bit concerned that somehow the uprising was being crushed. But what has been happening in the last several days is that the Iranian government has shut down a lot of access to the internet across the cities of Iran. And of course, because of the protests, they have stepped up the force against the protesters. More than 2,000 have been arrested and at least 50 murdered. Murdered because that's what they do. They shoot unarmed, kill them. And so it's been very tough on the freedom fighters. And so therefore, in some cities, it's become a little bit quiet. But make no mistake, this movement is empowered so much stronger than it was in 2009. Number one, because it has the support, the moral support of the United States. They didn't have that support back in 2009 when Barack Obama, president then, was quite silent about their plight for freedom. But what makes the difference also is they have the strength of the social media behind them, the voice of the American people, the many other nations as well, and also the strength of social media has made this movement a lot stronger than it was back in 2009. And so they are a tour de force to be reckoned with. Just recently, my wife had an opportunity to connect with an Iranian man, and it was through my Instagram account that I was actually able to share some questions with him. My wife is a journalist. Actually, that's what her degree is in, from Regent University. And she has become very interested in what's happening in Iran. And through some maneuvering on my part, question asking to this Iranian man, I was able to connect Becky with him. And she has written an article about the Iranian protests that I think is spot on, just powerful. And I want to share that article with you this morning. And it's called "Iranian Protests: Has Spring Come Early?" True grassroots movements are rare, so when they occur, we should stand up and take notice. Sometimes they are only around as long as they are useful. Other times they do incur real change. The new year has literally started off with a bang as protests have sprung up all over in a place that perhaps no one would expect: Iran. Those of us who are old enough to remember the Iranian Revolution of 1979 do not have a good experience with Iranian uprising. Iran went from a modern, prosperous nation in the 70s to an Islamic theocracy almost overnight, and the results have not been very good for a variety of reasons, most of which have to do with the sponsoring of terrorism. Most Americans are no doubt cautiously optimistic about what is happening in Iran, but at least on the surface, this is not your mother's uprising. What you will read here comes from someone on the ground, right in the thick of the protests. For obvious security reasons, this individual cannot be identified, so we will call him Hamid. Hamid is a 40-year-old medical professional who lives in Tehran. He is close to the average age of not only protesters, but roughly half the population in Iran, which is under 35. Most news outlets are saying that the unrest began because of increased prices of basic staples, like food and gas. Hamid says that things begin to take off in Tehran and other non-religious cities and ironically spread to religious cities like Mashhad and Qom. When the new budget was released, it revealed that millions of dollars had been allocated for religious and military institutions. According to Statista.com, as of 2016, the unemployment rate in Iran was 12.45%. It has hovered around 10% for the last decade and topped off at 14% in 2014. This and massive government corruption has angered a population of which half currently live below the poverty line. But what began as economic protests have morphed into massive political protests and unrest. Chants of death to the dictator and the tearing down of pictures of the supreme leader Khamenei are always taking place. As of this writing, 22 are dead and 500 have been arrested. Well, we update you, 50 are dead, over 2,000 arrested. That's how powerful this has been. So what happens from here? It appears that a young, internet-savvy population has grown tired of elderly Islamic hardliners who are denying the people the right of freedom of expression and free speech. Hamid also says that back in 2011, the son of the late Shah of Iran, Reza Pahlavi, became the most popular Iranian figure on Radio Farda, the Persian radio voice of America. He goes on to say that he believes that the majority of people protesting do want regime change. He says that those who are advocating for regime change want a secular, more pro-Western government. So, how long can this go on? Will it be successful? Hamid has several thoughts on that possibility. One of the things that is largely misunderstood by Americans is that hatred of America comes mostly from regime leaders. Images of American flag burning come from government leaders and those who support them. Hamid says that unlike many other Middle Eastern countries, rank and file Iranians have, for the most part, a friendly attitude toward the United States and Americans. And while President Trump has pledged help and support for Iranian protesters, Hamid says that for this movement to be successful, the rest of the free world must get behind the protest. Another big question might be, what of the plight of Iranian women? Will a change to a secular government end the practice of treating women as second-class citizens? Will they be able to do something as simple as leave their house without wearing a hijab? Right now, if that happens, they are subject to arrest and possible jail time. And an even bigger question is, where are the ardent feminists like Linda Sarsour and Ashley Judge? Why are they not shouting from the roof for immediate equality for Iranian women? Is it because they are not true feminists, that their quest for equality for women does not cross international borders and only hinges on political ideology and affiliation? Hamid says that on a personal level, he is excited about what is happening in his country. He says that people have been depressed for such a long time, and now he sees a general feeling of solidarity and hope, and that he would definitely like to see a democratic government emerge in Iran. Those feelings of unity and problems could take the movement a long way. Hamid says that his greatest wish is to be able to see his 7-year-old daughter be able to grow up in freedom. The people of Iran are not just fighting for economic security. They are risking their lives for free speech and freedom of expression. When any people at any time engage in this fight, nations all over the world who value these God-given rights must get behind those who fight. Hamid's wish for his daughter is a father's wish the world cannot ignore. Becky Noble, my wife, excellent article on the Iranian protests. You remember back in 2009 when the mullahs in the streets of Tehran would chant, "Are you with us, Obama?" are with the mullahs, and their voices and answers to those questions went largely silent. Just recently, Vice President Mike Pence met with Greta Van Susteren and had an interview about what's happening in Iran. Let's listen.
Mr. Vice President, nice to see you, sir.
Good to see you, Greta. Thank you.
Much is going on in Iran, and I realize it's a very tough situation, very fragile over there. What is the United States going to do, if anything? I know that there's been a tweet and verbal statements in support, but what about doing?
Well, it's important to remember first and foremost that Iran is the leading state sponsor of terrorism in the world. I mean, not only do they oppress their own people, deny human rights to their own, but they also export terrorism across the region and continue to be an enormously dangerous, destabilizing force. And so to see the people of Iran rising up to demand change in their country should hearten every freedom-loving American and people who cherish freedom around the world. And I have to tell you that the contrast today between the deafening silence from an American president in 2009 during the Green Revolution in Iran.
He waited a few days, but then he spoke out.
But the clear affirmation and support that President Trump has provided to protesters rising up in cities across Iran is dramatic. And I think it's very consistent with America's role in the world as a leading champion of freedom.
In terms of support, though, there's verbal support, and there was, admittedly, that President Obama was a few days late back in 2009.
It wasn't just a few days late, because I was there. Okay. I was a member of the Congress. You'll recall I served on the Foreign Affairs Committee in the House of Representatives. And I remember back in 2009 seeing this largely youth-driven movement following a fraudulent election in Iran. People taking to the streets, demonstrating incredible courage that the people of Iran did to claim a democratic and free future. And we looked to the White House in those days in 2009. We looked for American leadership, and there was none. There was deafening silence from the Obama administration. So as a member of Congress, I authored a resolution with a Democrat congressman by the name of Howard Berman, who was at the time chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee. We introduced the resolution. It passed almost unanimously in the House of Representatives. Then Senator McCain and Senator Lieberman introduced it in the Senate, where it passed unanimously. And then and only then did we hear from President Obama and the Obama administration. The contrast between the silence and the failure to support freedom in the last administration and President Trump's unapologetic willingness to stand with the courageous people of Iran, I know it is giving hope to the people on the streets of those cities across that country, and we're going to continue to support them in not just verbally, but as they bring about change in their country. I can assure you the United States and the wider world stands with the people of Iran who want a better, more prosperous, and freer future.
All right, in 1956-ish, the same thing happened in Hungary where the people rose up and there was verbal support. We've had it with the Kurds, with President Bush 41. We had the Green Movement, which the Congress, as you say, supported it. You and I may differ on how fast President Obama responded. But when you support them verbally, it has not had necessarily the intended consequence. This is a chance where the United States has supported them verbally. Is there something more that the United States intends to actually do to support them as they take to the streets?
I think there's an extraordinary amount that the United States and countries around the world can do for the people of Iran if they will continue to stand up for their own freedom and to stand up for change and to reject the radical ideology that overtook their country decades ago. And continues to beset the wider world through the export of terrorism from Iran. Look, the last administration not only was silent when the good and courageous people of Iran were rising up for democracy, but they also pushed forward and embraced the disastrous Iran nuclear deal that President Trump refused to recertify, and we're continuing to provide leadership on. You know, the hope of the Iran nuclear deal was that it would encourage a more moderate Iran, but we've seen nothing of the kind. But to see people taking to the streets again in Iran, and to now have an American president who's willing, in that great American tradition, to affirm and to say to the people that we're with you, we support you, we're prepared to help you achieve that freer, more prosperous future, I think it represents a genuine opportunity. And if I had one hope today, it's that just as the dissidents in the old Soviet Union heard of Ronald Reagan's evil empire speech and were encouraged to know that they were not alone, my hope is that the people who are taking to the streets in Iran know that under President Donald Trump, they are not alone, that the American people stand with them.
That is Vice President Michael Trump, a powerful voice for the Iranian people, with Greta Van Susteren talking about the failure of the Obama administration in the silence of 2009. And look at the $150 billion in this phony nuclear deal that he has given the Iranian government to use, and they've used it for terrorist purposes. A huge, huge betrayal of the Iranian people, a huge worldwide mistake to even engage in such a deal. Over the weekend, I had a wonderful visit with a dear friend on Facebook. Her name is Allison Ashley, and we had a great time together. She's an awesome photographer. She shares all of her pictures on Facebook of various places in the world she's been. And we had a great time together. We toured the Arch and took pictures. But she's also not only a great photographer and a great friend, but a powerful voice for human rights. I want you to hear what she wrote about the Iranian women and comparing it to the fake feminists of our country. And she wrote this: "Dear fake feminists, those utterly ridiculous-looking vagina hats that you all so proudly paraded around and during your so-called women's march were a choice. The hijab for Iranian women is not a choice. They are forced to wear it whether they want to or not. Dear fake feminists, it beggars belief how your voices were so loud against Donald Trump's apparent misogyny, yet when it comes to the blatantly obvious oppression of Iranian women over the last 39 years by the totalitarian Islamic regime of Iran, we still hear absolutely nothing but silence from you. Dear fake feminists, you complain that the current U.S. president only won by what you claim to be a corrupt election, yet innocent women and men in Iran suffer oppression every day under a dictatorship which came into and has remained in power under nothing but obviously corrupt elections, and on this you all choose to remain apathetic under the pretext of, quote, cultural tolerance. Dear fake feminist, it is about time you all realize that feminism is not necessarily about getting offended by every single little thing perceived as being offensive to women, but campaigning for the basic human rights of all women the world over. Now this is real feminist." Absolutely spot on, Allison. A voice of hope for the Iranian women. Thank you, Allison, for sharing your voice. They will hear what you have to say, mark my words, on this broadcast. I want to now extend a big welcome to two of my most favorite people in the world, Miriam Rostenpour and Marzia Amirzadeh. They wrote the incredible book, Captive in Iran, and they are guests on my radio program this morning. Good morning, Miriam and Marzia. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert.
Good morning, Randy. Thank you so much for having us.
Good morning. It's good to be with you.
It's been a long time since we've had a chance to talk, and this is a very historic time in the world for us to get together and be a voice of hope for Iranians. Now, I just want to briefly mention before we talk about the uprising, I want to just mention to our audience the book Captive in Iran, that it was in 2009 that both you and Miriam, Marzia and Miriam, were both on death row in Iran for distributing Bibles all over the cities of Tehran. And by a miracle of God, you were released. But it was during this time of your imprisonment that a big uprising like today was going on in Iran. It was the 2009 Grieve Movement. You were both in prison. I want you both to speak of what you knew about that movement while you were in prison and what you thought about it and how it compares to what is happening right now today in Iran.
Randy, first of all, we would like to thank you for trying to be a voice for Iranian people, especially in those difficult days that people are fighting and standing for their freedom. As you mentioned, in 2009, we both were in Evin prison. We could see that every day the regime arrested many youth people, and they were sending them to prison. And we could see those, you know, young people, that how they were tortured and how they were treated, and many of them, you know, tortured very bad inside the prison. And they sentenced long years because just they were in the street. And during that time, unfortunately, you know, the America didn't stand with Iranian people. President Obama, you know, one of the slogans of people was that for Obama, that if you are stand with us or not, if you are with us or not. And at that time, unfortunately, we believe that President Obama didn't support that, you know, green movement. That's why it failed. But today, the demonstration is totally different. And we believe our President Trump, you know, he's supporting people. And through his tweet, we can see that from the beginning of demonstrations, he tweeted many messages, and he spoke about, you know, standing with Iranian people. And his speech in the UN also, he mentioned, you know, many things about Iranian people. And we are glad to have such a, you know, brave and honest president at this time. And we believe with the support of America and other democratic countries, this time, there is a big, you know, difference between this time and 2009.
And Randy, I would like to mention something else. This is Mariam. You mentioned about the 2009 movement. Hi. You know, as you mentioned, we were in prison at that time. We didn't know what was going on in the street, but we would hear from the people who were coming to the ward and from our families. And we know, you know, we have lived in Iran for many years. I would like to say that this is a continuous movement. It's not just, you know, today or last week that people came to this understanding that they don't want this regime. It's been years that people are tired of this regime. And we have seen this in 2009, and today again people are standing for their rights. The problem is this government, this regime is so cruel. As Maggie mentioned, they arrest people, they kill people, they torture people, they don't care about human rights. That's why we see that, you know, this is not, I believe that this is not very different as far as the Iranian people and their, you know, their demands. It's not very different from 2009. They don't want this regime anymore. The problem was that in 2009, they didn't have the international support, especially from the U.S. But today, fortunately, the U.S. Is standing with the Iranian people. But as far as the people themselves, nothing has changed. They don't want this regime. And this is their demand for years.
And Randy,
absolutely.
One more thing that I want to mention. I believe during the demonstration in 2009, there were minority of people that they believed the you know, reformist leaders, and they elected those reformist leaders, and they believe that they will bring a change, but it didn't happen. And I'm sure you read the news and you know what is going on inside Iran. And but this time, we believe even those people who trusted those reformist leaders, they don't have any trust, and they want a big change. They are ready for a big change. They want to end to this regime and bring a new change to Iran.
Exactly. Now, there's some very important things that both you and Miriam have brought up that I want to talk about a little more. Number one, in 2009, they didn't have the support of the United States or President Obama. Here in 2018, we have the support of President Trump. We have the voices of the Trump administration on their side. In 2009, it was a reformist movement, but this needs to be a replacement movement because reform wouldn't work. And the social media is so strong for the Iranian people, and they are depending on us to share videos on our page to keep their story alive to the media. Now, this is also important what you said. This is not just about economics. They're tired of the Islamic oppression over their lives, the rules, the regulations, the death, and the destruction. I wanted to add what you said. A very powerful voice for them is UN Ambassador Nikki Haley. Right before our interview this morning, I was talking with a friend, Nazila Galustin. She works at National Council of Iran. With Reza Pahlavi, she works in Paris. She says Nikki Haley is loved by the Iranian people. Nikki Haley has said in a speech to the UN, we must not be silent for the Iranian people. That is powerful. Wouldn't you agree?
Exactly.
Yeah, we are so grateful for this amazing support. Unfortunately, these days, the Europe stays silent, but we are glad that this time the President Trump and Nikki Haley and many other people in the U.S. administration are speaking for people's Iranian people's rights.
Exactly.
Yes,
now, I've been working – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Miriam or Marzia.
I just wanted to say we are very grateful of our leaders today. As you mentioned about Nikki Haley, President Trump, and Vice President Mike Pence, they are supporting this demonstration, and we are very grateful. And Randy, as you mentioned, this time there is a big change, and we can see through the videos that this time people, through their slogans, and also we can see that there are many videos that people have started burning the, those holy places, and they are against the Islamic rules. This is a good, sign that people are tired of the Islamic rules and they don't want this Islamic regime anymore. And there are many videos that we can see that how people, are against the Islamic rules and they are tired of the Islamic rules, and this is a good sign.
Yes. I wanted to interject something that I was talking about before our interview that's so important to me, and I'm sure you can speak to this. There's a couple of things. Number one, you remember last January at this time, there was a big women's protest march, and it was largely a protest march not just for women's rights, but against President Trump's inauguration, and it was a lot of Trump bashing. These women feminists have not said one word in support of the Iranian women who are losing their lives, who are on the streets, who are being hurt, who are being arrested. Why is it, Miriam and Marzia, that people that live here in the West that call themselves women feminists, why are they so quiet and silent? Why don't they speak up for the Iranian women?
Actually, Randy, we have seen the demonstrations that happened last year. And we don't believe for a second that this woman is standing for women's rights. We believe that she and her followers have different agenda. As you mentioned, they were against President Trump, and they wanted to spread, their propaganda against him. And also about the women's rights, they are standing. I believe they are standing for Islamic values, not for women's rights. And I honestly don't know why this woman is allowed to express these kind of, violent mindset, because this is not, to me, it's not just the freedom of expression, because I have listened to some of her speeches, and I've watched some of the videos of the demonstrations and the way she speaks. To me, it's just to spread this violent mindset, and she's spreading the Islamic values. She's trying to inject her own mindset to other women. I don't believe that she's standing for women's rights.
And Randy, as Mariam mentioned, we both followed some news about Linda Sarsour. She's the leader of, you know, that demonstration. And as Mariam mentioned, she's not standing for the women's rights. She's standing for Islam and spreading Islamic rules in America. This is the main goal of, you know, all radical Muslims, to spread Islam everywhere. And unfortunately, it's so sad to see that how many, you know, Americans deceived by her, and they don't know what is going on in future. If the Islam comes to America, what will happen? We lived in Iran, in an Islamic country, and we know how those Islamic rules destroyed the lives of many women. And unfortunately, I can say some Americans are not educated about Islam. It is good for them to first educate themselves about Islam and Islamic rules, and then follow such a leader. You know, they try to brainwash people, and people, unfortunately, as I mentioned, they don't have enough knowledge about Islam, about Quran, and unfortunately, you know, Linda Sarsour. She's brainwashing, you know, people, and leading them to something which is not related to women's rights.
And also, I would like to add one more thing about this discussion, Randy. I believe that you cannot be a feminist and a Muslim at the same time, because if you read the Quran, you can see there are many verses in the Quran against women. For example, in the Quran it says men are allowed to beat their wives. Men can have several wives. You know, there is no right for women in Islam, in the Quran itself. So I don't see how you can be a feminist and a Muslim at the same time.
Yes, it's very important that you bring this up, because you mentioned also, and I'm referring to what Marzia said and what you just said, people are ignorant of the teachings of Islam. And largely the problem here, Miriam and Marzia, is the political correctness of our culture that shuts down any meaningful dialogue and any objection. We're so concerned about political correctness and offending people that we're afraid to have a real discussion about the teachings of Islam. So I see that as one of the biggest barriers why women would get together last January and even put hijabs on their head. It's very, very sad. I want to ask you a question about the current status of the uprising. We have shared videos back and forth on Facebook, and you have been very active putting together a collage of videos about what's happening over all the cities in Iran. And one of the things that you mentioned just recently is these counter-protests against the protesters, that there is a movement put out by the government to try to stop the protests. And this movement is videos of those going out in the street chanting death to America and denouncing the protesters. Really, how effective has this counter movement been?
We mentioned, I believe last night on our Facebook pages, that you know, we have seen some Farsi documents on Twitter about the order of the government to different cities. We haven't shared those because they were in Farsi. And it didn't make sense to people, because most people on our Facebook pages don't know Farsi. But based on those documents, we posted on our Facebook pages that the government forced the different cities, and especially the governmental workers, students, to go to street and to participate in these pro-government rallies. This is their tactics. You know, we have lived in Iran for many years. We remember from very young age, you know, they forced the students to go and to participate in these demonstrations. We ourselves were forced to go and participate in some of these demonstrations. We had no idea what was going on. These are all the government tactics. I can say majority of people who participate in these demonstrations go there because they are forced to do this. If they don't go, for example, we shared on our Facebook pages that they will lose their jobs. Students cannot go to school anymore if they don't participate. They will lose their benefits. It's like the same thing is happening when it comes to elections. People have to vote. Reza Shah Pahlavi mentioned in some of his interviews that the government forced people to go and vote for whatever candidate, and people have to go just because they want to have that stamp in their document. If they don't have that, they will lose their jobs, they will lose their benefits. So I don't believe that these demonstrations can be a threat to the real protesters, because majority of people are regular people and they are forced to go. In some of the videos that we shared last night, we see that children, the students, they were forced to go to these demonstrations, but they were chanting their own slogans. They were chanting "Death to Khomeini." You know, this was very interesting because they were forced to go to participate in the pro-government demonstrations, but they were chanting their own slogans.
Uh-huh.
And Randy, Western people should not be deceived by the fake news. And seeing such news that people are pro-government, this is not true. And as Mariam mentioned, most of them had to go for these demonstrations for the government because they will lose their benefits. And they force people to attend in those demonstrations. And people should not be deceived by, you know, such a news. And as Mariam mentioned, we see many videos that how people are against this government. Majority of people of Iran, I can say they are against this government and they are against the Islamic regime. A few days ago, I saw a picture which was very, you know, sad to see such a thing that how they buy people. Because of the economic sanction and economic problem, as you know, many people have problem. And I saw a picture that it was somebody showed that picture that her dad attending in a demonstration for the government. They paid him a few packages of food. Yeah, food, and it was so sad that for such a small thing, they can buy people for themselves. And people, some of people, you know, they have to attend such a demonstration because they are in need and they will lose their benefits. And unfortunately, the fake news, you know, shows such a news that many Iranian people are pro-government, which is not true.
Yes, the fake news, like with the political correctness, is putting a whole different spin and a picture about what's happening in Iran. But both of you can shed light on what's really going on there because you once lived there. Now, another thing that's happening in these protests that are so important, Mariam and Marzeh, is a petition that has been going around, and I'm sure you've shared it too. It's about a petition petitioning President Trump to help the Iranian people have access to a satellite, simply because the government has been effective in shutting down a lot of the internet sites across the cities to stop this movement and to stop the news getting out of Iran. So this is very important, that a practical way that you and I can really reach out and help the Iranian people is to get that petition and to sign it and make sure that this news gets to President Trump so that the Iranian people have access not just to our videos, but to a satellite themselves so they can broadcast what's really going on back there.
Yes, Randy, as you mentioned, this is very important, not because we outside Iran can receive these videos. It is important for the people inside Iran because they can communicate, they can let others to know about the place of demonstration, the time of demonstration, and also in this way people can be encouraged, because we spoke in the past few days, we spoke with friends, with family members inside Iran, and we know the effect of, you know, having access to internet and especially the apps Telegram and Instagram, because people share their videos and other people in other cities watch those videos, and they become encouraged to go out because they will know that they are not alone. But when they cut off the internet access and people's communication, and when they don't know what is going on in other cities, they can get discouraged, and they may feel that they are just they are alone, and this might silence some people. So we believe this is very important. It plays a very important role at this time for people of Iran to have access to internet. And for us who live outside Iran, we can just share this message. We can encourage the politicians, especially President Trump, to provide this this for the Iranian people. We shared a few days ago, we received a phone number to the White House. We believe some of our friends called that number. They can also send a message to the White House and ask the President's administration to help the Iranian people in this regard. And also the petition that you mentioned, this is the only way that we can help, by sharing this message and asking our politicians here to give this access to the Iranian people and provide the satellite-based internet for them.
That's right, exactly. The role of prayer for the Iranian people, Marzeh, is so critical. Both you and Maryam, biggest reasons that you're here today in the United States is praying Christians, people all over the world praying for your release. And as I mentioned, it was a miracle. You were released. It was God's answer to many, many prayers. Marzeh, speak to the importance of not only praying for the Iranian people, but having the love relationship with Jesus that will make such a difference in the lives of Iranian people who are struggling for freedom and democracy. Could you speak to us about that?
Exactly. As you mentioned, Randy, power of prayer is very important, and we encourage all Christians to be united and pray for Iranian people. As you mentioned, in 2009, when we were in prison, we could, feel the power of prayers, and we heard that many people are standing with us through their prayers. It was very encouraging for both of us, and also it wasn't just, being encouraged. We could see the impact of prayers. We could see the miracles are happening, and because of the prayers of people, and because we pray in Jesus' name, we have power in the name of Jesus, and that's why we encourage people to stand with Iranian people these days to pray. They can do many things. When we were in prison, we mentioned in our Facebook that doing even small things, such as writing a letter while we were in prison, had a great impact on our freedom. For example, every day we were receiving about 50 letters, and the guards were very angry. They could see that the world are watching them, and they couldn't torture us. And it had a great impact on our situation inside the prison. That's why when we share videos on the Facebook, we ask people, please just share. Don't think that just doing small things cannot bring a change. By praying and, sharing those news, it's very important, and it will have a great impact on the situation of Iranian people. We are all brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter which country we live, which language we speak, and the borders, that doesn't make us separate. We are all brothers and sisters, and we should stand for each other. And everyone can do through, whatever God guide him. At least they can pray, for the Iranian people to get their freedom.
And also, may I ask
this
something,
is so critical. Mm-hmm. Go right ahead, Maryam.
And also, because we have powers in our prayers, we would like to encourage those people who listen to your radio program to pray for the families of those people who are inside prison right now. As you know, thousands of people were arrested during the past few days, and also many people have been killed. We would like to ask people to pray for the families of those people. We are sure that it's not easy for people, and also for the safety of other people in the next few days, in the next few months, who participate in the demonstration.
Yes, this is very important. The role of praying. We saw the miracle that was in your life. Your book, Captive in Iran, I say this to every friend I meet, has been one of the most life-changing books I've ever read in my life, because it takes me right into the heart of the country that has oppressed people for so many, many years. And it takes me into your heart to know how you trusted the Lord in such a difficult situation, and as a result, he rewarded your suffering. This book has taken both you and Marzeh all over the world to be a voice for Christ and to be a voice for the Iranian people. I wanted to ask you here, as we conclude, Do you have plans for a new book? And if you're writing a new book, tell us a little bit about that book, if you wouldn't mind.
Yes, Randy. We think we have mentioned this to you before. This is in our heart, to write a book just for women to open their eyes to what Islam is. And we think it is very important both for the women who live in Islamic countries and also for the women who live in Western free countries to know what Islam is and how Islam treats women. And our hope is that we can use some of the stories, some of the things that we have seen inside Evin prison and how Islam destroyed women's life in Iran. We would like to write a book about this subject. Unfortunately, we are very busy these days. We are in a school and we travel a lot, as you mentioned. And it might take a longer time, but this is one of our dreams. And we hope one day we can write a book in this regard, and because it can be eye-opening for many women. As you mentioned about the march last year, you know, there are women who try to deceive Western women who have no idea what mm-hmm. Islam is. And because we see these, you know, these in the U.S. and in the European countries, how people try to deceive people and how they try to show a different face of Islam to people, that Islam is a religion of peace. But we know that this is not true because we have lived it. So this is our dream, to write a book, especially just particularly for women, to open their eyes to what true Islam is.
That's excellent. That's excellent. You mentioned, Maryam, and I'd like you to speak to this, Marzea, how the teachings of Islam is oppressive and destructive to women. Tell us about the difference between Muhammad and Jesus, and what a difference Jesus makes in the lives of women like yourself. What is it about Christ that has changed your lives forever?
Of course, Randy, as you we mentioned, there is a big difference. If you we both read Quran, and we know that there are many verses in Quran against women. Maryam mentioned about that in Quran teach how to treat women. Men are allowed to beat women. Women have not the same rights as men. They don't, for example, if they go to a court, they can't have the custody of their, you know, their children. And about the heritage, they will receive half of men. In everything in Islam, women are half, and they don't have any, I can say they don't have any rights. And as we know, the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, had four legal wives and many temporary marriage, and in Islam they encourage, you know, all men to have temporary marriage, especially women in Iran. Especially those some widows do temporary marriage in order to support themselves, and they think it's based on Quran, because in Quran it allow women to have in temporary marriage, and they will marry a man, for example, for a year, for a month, sometimes for a day, and mullahs do the contracts for women to be allowed to have such a marriage, and this is a kind of prostitution. It's not, you know, marriage. And when we were in Iran, we had a house church among prostitutes, and we started with two prostitutes, and it was very difficult to work with them because we had to convince them that what they are doing, it's a kind of prostitution. And they all at first, you know, told us that, no, this is in Quran, and we can do that, and we have the contract, it's legal. And they didn't know that, you know, again, the mullahs brainwashing, you know, people, and they do such a contract for their benefit. And there is a big difference, but in Bible it's completely different. Women, we can see that women have rights. Women are equal. The way that Jesus treats, you know, women. There are many stories in the Bible, such as Maryam Magdalene. Yeah, and I don't know the names in English, but we can see there are lots of stories that how Jesus treated women. And it's totally different with what is teaching, you know, in Quran.
This is very important, and I really pray that you will all find the time to write this book, because it's so important to be taught the truth. Jesus stood in the face of those who accused the woman of adultery. He told them, "You who are without sin, you cast the first stone." And this is an example of Jesus standing up for women and protecting them. And so I just can't wait for this new book, and I know that you'll find the time. Please share with us, Miriam and Marzea, some final thoughts on us and how we can be effective in standing for the Iranian people, and how we can be effective in telling the truth to our culture about the real face of Islam. If you wouldn't mind to each share something about that, and then we'll conclude.
Thank you so much, Randy, again, for having us and for being a voice for the people of Iran. I just would like to say that even though we are not receiving many videos from the demonstrations in the past few days, but people should know that the Iranian people are not silent. This is just a matter of time. We believe that this regime will fall eventually because people are tired of the Islamic regime and this government. They are living in hardship. They need our support, our prayers, and also besides prayers, as you mentioned, there are many practical ways we can help, like what you do right now, you know, having this radio program and being a voice for the people. This is a practical way that you can be a voice for the demonstrators. And also we can share the videos of the demonstrations. We can talk to our politicians. We can sign petitions on their behalf. I'm sure there are many other ways. In future, we may know more about the practical ways that we can get involved and help the Iranian people. But they need our support. They are fighting, this fight. They are paying the very high price. And at least we can support them from here and be a voice for them. We are not in the middle of the demonstrations. We are not getting killed. We are not being tortured, but at least we can be a voice for those people and share this message with others.
And Randy, I also would like to thank you for being a voice for Iranian people. We can see through your Facebook that how you share the news and try to be a voice for Iranian in these days. I believe Iranian people do not expect other foreigners to come to fight for them. They will fight for their freedom. And as Maryam mentioned, we can, support them by our prayers, which we mentioned we have power in our prayers, and also by doing, small things. If we don't need to think that we need to do big things, and by doing a small thing, by sharing the news, by bringing awareness what is going on in Iran, we can bring a big change. Unfortunately, some media doesn't cover the news correctly, and I'm very thankful to social media that we can, at least we can share those videos, we can share with people what is going on, because some people think that the demonstration is finished in Iran, which is not true. And we can see that still in some cities in Iran, people are standing for their freedom. And as Maryam mentioned, many people are arrested, and we know when they arrest what will happen to them. If people don't stand with, their brothers and sisters, it will end to the death of many youth people. And we saw many videos that how mothers outside of prison are crying for their children. And today we saw a news that they killed a young boy inside the prison under torture. Mm. And we believe there are many, because in 2009 we were in prison and we could see that how this government treats prisoners. That's why it is very important for each of us to, as a human, to stand for each other, to stand for freedom and to fight for freedom. Just by doing, small things, we ask people just share the videos and spread this news and bring awareness what is going on. We are all, as I mentioned, I emphasize again, we are all brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter which country we are from. We should stand for freedom in anywhere in the world.
Exactly. We are blessed as a nation, Mariam and Marzia, to have freedom of demonstration, to have freedom of thought, to have freedom of belief. And we who are so blessed have an opportunity, an obligation, and we should have a passion to stand up and protect the freedoms, especially of those that are inside Iran. And you mentioned the young boy killed in prison. This is unacceptable. This is inhumane. I want to just one last thing. I want to let our audience know how they can get in touch with you to have you come and speak at their church about your book, Captive in Iran. How can they get in touch with you?
Randy, you know that we have a Facebook page. We both have Facebook pages. We are both on Twitter. People can get in touch with us if they want to send us a message on Facebook or through Twitter. And also, as far as the speakings, we have a speaking agent and churches or conferences or whatever community that they are interested in having us to speak to their community, they can contact our speaking agent, which is located in Nashville. Wes Yoder is our agent, and our agency's ambassador is called Ambassador.
And the information is on the Facebook page and on Twitter, Randy.
Well, I'm so glad it's very accessible because I know lots of people would love to meet you, would love to hear your story at their church, and I look forward to one day having the same opportunity to meet you both. But I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for the hard work you're doing and being a voice, and especially thank you for coming on kind of at the last minute. But this has been a very important interview. The information you have shared is so important because you're right, the fake news is going to twist the scenario. But thank you for informing us, and thank you for standing for your people. And I want to say God bless you, Mariam and Marzia, and thank you for being on the cross in the desert.
God bless you, Randy, and thank you for your hard work.
Thank you so much, Randy. God bless you.
God bless you. Those are two of my most incredible friends on Facebook. I remember hearing their story one day on the news and hearing about two women that were on death row in prison in Iran. And it was because of this three-minute news item that what I do today is the result of that. And I have followed their story. I've prayed for them while they were in prison. And they're just two of the most powerful voices for human rights and freedom in the world and the gospel. And I'm so glad to be their friend. If you've never read any book in your life, and I say this because it touched my life so deeply, you owe it to yourself to read Captive in Iran, because through this book you will meet two powerful survivors of Islamic rule in captivity, and you will see how God answered millions of prayers to bring them out of captivity to freedom. Their story doesn't mince any words about the conditions inside of prison, but literally, this book will introduce you to how God used Mariam and Marzia, used their prison captivity to bring the message of God's hope and freedom and love through Jesus. They literally had church in prison. And it was a miracle, the lives they touched of hurting people in prison. So again, I urge you to read a book that's life-changing, and that book is Captive in Iran. Well, we've been talking about freedom for the last half an hour or so with Mariam and Marzia. I thought this was an appropriate song that we should listen to. This is Paul McCartney and Freedom. And if I can get it to play, here we go.
This is my right, a right given by God to live a free life, to live in freedom. I'm talking about freedom. I'm talking about freedom. I will fight. Yeah.
undeniably one of the best songs Paul McCartney has written. He actually wrote that right after 9/11, and I saw that in a concert on a concert film called Back in the USA. It was back in 2002, I think, but a very powerful song about freedom. I wanted to mention this in the interview, and it just occurred to me now, so I'll mention it now. There has been a multitude of Iranian-American rallies all across the United States in standing in solidarity with the Iranian people. One was in Dallas, and the other one was in Los Angeles, but there was also one in Washington. And I want to read to you a short little story from my friend Donya Jam, who's an Iranian-American human rights activist. She was unable to come on the program today because of a work schedule. So what I did is I asked Donya to please write something about the protest rally in solidarity with Iranians that occurred in Washington, and I believe it was on Saturday. So what Donya did is write something for you and me. So she's going to kind of share a little bit of that with us, and I want to read to you what Donya wrote. She writes, "As you may know, Iran has been the scene of anti-government demonstrations for over a week now. It must be said that during these days, it is empowering and encouraging to see President Trump and members of the U.S. administration stand in solidarity with the people of Iran. For example, Nikki Haley, the U.S. representative of the United Nations, recently said, quote, human rights are not the gift of governments. They are the inalienable rights of the people themselves. The Iranian regime is now on notice. The world will be watching what you do." In a recent op-ed by the Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence said, quote, "Today, the Iranian people are once again rising up to demand freedom and opportunity, and under President Trump, the United States is standing with them. This time, we will not be silent." As mentioned, it is truly amazing to see the leaders of the free world standing with the people of Iran, and it's a great first step. But more has to be done as the brutal regime is cracking down severely on demonstrators. So far, reports indicated that 50 protesters have been killed and over 3,500 have been arrested. The internet has been cut off and social networking apps like Telegram and Instagram have been banned. In order to raise awareness on this current urgent situation, on Saturday, January 6th, Iranian supporters of the National Council of Resistance of Iran gathered in front of the White House to stand with their brothers and sisters in Iran to condemn the killing of protesters and call on the U.S. government and international community to do more to support the protesters. The goals of the D.C. rally also included supporting regime change, freedom, and democracy from Iran. One of the big banners read, "Time for change in Iran. Iranian people's right to regime change must be recognized." Among the speakers at this rally included Newt Gingrich, who delivered a great speech in support of the people of Iran and regime change. Mrs. Maryam Rajavi, the president of the NCRI, also delivered a message to the rally. She called on the international community to stand with the people of Iran and urged, number one, to recognize the Iranian people's legitimate right to topple the ruling religious fascism and establish freedom and popular sovereignty. Two, to vehemently condemn and hold the Iranian regime accountable for the slaughter and mass arrests of unarmed, defenseless protesters. Three, to censure disruption of access to the internet services and social media and guarantee free access for the general Iranian public to the internet. Number four, to sanction the clerical regime for its systematic human rights abuses in Iran, including the massacre in 1988 and the slaughter of participants in the present uprising. Right now, it is our responsibility to continue to stand with the brave protesters of Iran who are risking their lives to obtain freedom. They deserve freedom and democracy, just like any other citizen on this earth. Let us hope and pray downfall of the regime is near. Let's pray that victory is near. One may ask what they can do to support the people of Iran. Please continue to convey the voice of the people of Iran as best you can. Join a protest, tweet, or create a Facebook post discussing the situation in Iran. Sign the petition, calling for internet restrictions in Iran to be lifted. For the latest news on Iran and the uprising, I would like to recommend the National Council of Resistance of Iran webpage. Thank you, dear Randy, for allowing me to share my message with your wonderful listeners. God bless you all. Danya. Thank you so much, Danya, for being a true American, Iranian-American patriot, and using your freedom here as an American to stand with your people. I've been thinking deeply about these protests for 2 weeks. As many of you know, I write books, self-published books. Most of the books, not everyone, but most of the books are about the plight of the Iranian people. I recently wrote one for my dear friend Maral called Finding Hope in a Future, Maral's Journey to Freedom. And it's about her story of leaving Iran and becoming a citizen of Germany, finding hope in a future. Prior to that, I wrote a book called Rehane, A Beautiful Fragrance, the story of Rehane Jabari, a beautiful young Iranian woman who was deceived by a former government intelligence agent and was lured to a home, and he attempted to rape her. She did what any woman would do and stabbed him. And instead of standing up for her rights as a rape victim, the Iranian regime put her in prison, tortured her, interrogated her, wanted her to change her story, did everything they could to get her to change what they thought really happened. She refused to lie. She stood for what happened. This man tried to rape me, and she was executed. One of the most heartbreaking stories I've ever written, Rehane, A Beautiful Fragrance. I also wrote about the Iranian people in a book called The Rose of Nowruz, Dreams of Hope and Freedom, and then a book called The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. I'm not here to sell my books. I'm here to tell you why I write what I write. And I owe so much of my passion to the story of Maryam and Marzeh, because I really didn't know much about Iran until I heard their story about being in prison, and then I saw a video of Neda Sultan being shot in the streets in 2009. Those two incidents changed my life. As I was thinking deeply about what's happening in Iran, I thought about C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis is a great British apologist. He is the writer of the children stories we come to love called The Chronicles of Narnia. And there is a scene in one of his stories, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where the children who were brought to this countryside place to escape the bombing of Britain during World War II, one of those children, little Lucy, discovers this magical door in the wardrobe that when she walks through it, she goes into the land of Narnia, of all of these different animals and creatures that speak and talk. And one of the most powerful characters in the land of Narnia is Aslan. He's the lion. Well, he represents Jesus. One of the darker figures in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, who represents the evil, the darkness, is the Wicked Witch, the witch. When you walk into Narnia with the witch ruling the day, you walk into a cold, distorted, wintry scene where it's snowing and cold all the time. And so the people of Narnia want something to happen for the witch to be overthrown. And it's through this story that C.S. Lewis introduced to children the gospel. Because Aslan, the big lion of the tribe of Judah, is the hero of the story. We see Aslan being slain by the witch and then rising again from the dead like Jesus. We see Aslan leading a revolt of the people to overcome the witch and her forces. And one day, winter turns into spring. And it was that part of the story that touched me deeply. Winter turning into spring. Because, you see, the Iranian people, the biggest event in their lives is every spring when they celebrate Nowruz. Spring is a time for them to look forward to the new year, to look forward to hope, to look forward to change. In my book, The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran, I wrote the blog story about wanting to meet with one of my Iranian friends on Skype during Nowruz. We sat and we planned this. But you know, in Iran, the internet speed is so low, it's in many cases banned. You have to have VPN to overcome this problem. I had planned to have a Skype event with my friend in Mashhad, which is one of the big cities of the protest. And we were unable to connect because of the low internet speed. And of course, I was disappointed. It was going to be a big event on Nowruz to meet with them. But instead of, you know, being disappointed, I decided in my book to write a message to my Iranian friends during Nowruz that would encourage them. And this is the message that I wrote during their Nowruz celebration. My dear friends in Iran, I pray that your new year is filled with peace, prosperity, and freedom. As you gather together with your families this year and sit around your hafsin tables, please don't forget that I am thinking of you and praying for you. I am praying that God will give you the desires of your hearts and that your dreams and visions for the future will one day be finally realized. I am praying that one day you will have a free Iran where you can walk down the streets without fear of being monitored, without fear of being stopped because of the way you dress. I am praying for the day that you can believe as you choose, that you can speak your mind without fear of imprisonment. I am praying for the day that you will have true freedom. I believe that day will come, my dear Iranian friends. I know that God hears the cries of your hearts. Your lives are precious to him. He will deliver you from all fear and oppression. I wanted to leave you with a promise from the Bible describing that day of freedom that I have spoken to you about. Quote, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's throne is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And he said to me, tell you, is trustworthy and true. Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 through 5. My dear Iranian friends, this is a promise from our great God. He cannot lie. What he promises will happen. It is absolutely true. I want to assure you that one day your pain and suffering will finally come to an end. This promise is guaranteed to anyone or everyone who puts their hope and faith in Messiah, in Jesus. I know this from my own life. Jesus has given me a peace and an assurance that has sustained me through the dark and difficult trials of my life. Jesus is that rose of Nowruz that can give you hope for the future. He is trustworthy and true. Adah panahi koda, I pray that the Lord takes care of you. Be papadaga misparament. God bless you. Happy New Year. Let us pray that coming March 21st, the Persian New Year, that this Nowruz 2018 will be the real Nowruz of freedom for our Iranian brothers and sisters. That the one day that I described in that verse from the Bible will become their day, March 21st, the spring Nowruz. I want to thank you, Mary, so much for being my standby lone person today in the chat room. Thank you, Mary. God bless you. I want to thank Miriam Rostampour and Marzia Amarazidi for such a wonderful interview and such an education on what's happening in Iran. I want to thank you, the listener, for bearing with us today on this extended length program. Please keep the Iranian people in your constant prayers. God bless you, and I will see you again on Thursday on the Cross in the Desert. God bless you all.